Welcome to the SWZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Today we're going to run through a list of recent news announcements that have come across our desk in the last week and have a bit of a chat about recent local store reports. A lot of the news that we've covered in our most recent SWZ News Digest relates to Solo, a Star Wars Story, which is due out in New Zealand on October the 3rd, which is not surprising as the promotional campaign for that ramps up. It is out digitally now in some formats, but we'll see the DVDs and Blu-rays locally in a little bit of time. We'll also do a price comparison of the different retailers that are offering those DVDs and Blu-rays before it actually comes out, so stay tuned to SWZ for that. Taking a look at each of the items in the News Digest though, first, Star Wars Resistance News, the animated show that we're expecting next month, has shown us another video that introduces more characters. This one's entitled Meet the Aces. We don't have a lot of information about them other than they seem to be a racing crew set on the Colossus station. We've got some names and other little bits of additional information about them through this video, as well as a lot of graphics and clips that just sort of tease how that's all going to pan out. Characters included are Tora Dozer, a human.
She's friends with the main character, Kazuda. Tora is the daughter of the station operator of the Colossus, Captain Emmanuel Dozer. She's featured heavily in the promotional posters and the initial trailers alongside the main crew of racers, but she is what they call one of the aces, that she's one of the pro pilots on the station. Her ship is the Blue Ace.
That's the one that's pale blue with orange highlights. Hype Faison is a Rodian. He is voiced by Donald Faison, who plays Turk in Scrubs. The ship he flies is called the Green Ace. You'll see a pattern here forming with the ship names. Griff Halloran, also a human, is an ex-TIE pilot. He's voiced by Stephen Stanton.
He voiced Tarkin in the Clone Wars series. So it's neat to see another returning Star Wars voice actor to this new series.
Griff flies a ship called the Black Ace, which appears to be a modified TIE fighter. A few of the vehicles that we see in this, a few of the racing starships we see in this, seem to have familiar components and familiar design aspects.
A lot of them are described as custom, as you would expect, these sort of hot rods that have been souped up. So a lot of them look like you can recognize components from classic Star Wars ships like Y-wings, A-wings, X-wings, and the TIE fighter. But for fans of the Old Republic era, a few of the ships look like they may have been influenced by some of those earlier ship designs. The TIE fighter custom ship that Griff flies does remind me of some of the Imperial fighters that you can actually fly as a player character in SWTOR.
Yeah, the wing configuration is quite evocative of the SWTOR Star Wars The Old Republic Starfighter, Galactic Starfighter spaceships that you can have in-game. The Aces team is rounded out with Bo Keevil, a Kaldor who flies the Yellow Ace, and Freya Fenris, a human who flies the Red Ace. The rest of the News Digest that we've published on SWZ focuses on Solo. There's a few interviews and behind-the-scenes features that have showed up on a number of different sites. If you go to that article on SWZ, we've got links to all of that material. Sam Witwer is interviewed on slashfilm.com. So he speaks obviously about his role voicing Maul in Solo. He touched on that in an interview in the Star Wars show a week or so ago, didn't he? But this text interview on Slash Film expands on that and covers a few more additional details. There's a Creature Shop feature on StarWars.com that shows a lot of behind-the-scenes imagery that I haven't personally seen before. There's some cool looks at creatures and robots. Tantalizingly, it shows a really good view of 2-1B, the medical droid that would have shown up in Solo. Didn't get enough screen time in my personal opinion, but that's another story. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, L337, is interviewed by Vanity Fair. That article includes behind-the-scenes photos and videos.
I really like the behind-the-scenes footage of Phoebe as L3. Most droids are a costume or CG, and hers is quite a unique blend of both. And so it's really fascinating seeing the behind-the-scenes footage of her on set with the droid components on her over her green screen suit, and showing how they removed the green screen suit and replaced it with more additional droid components so that they still get the movement and the character of her performance. In quite a different way that they did, like K2SO, which was an entirely computer-generated character, or R2-D2, where the actor is completely hidden by the droid. So that's a really fascinating article to go check out.
Yeah, I think those photos of her in the green suit with the physical costume pieces all over her are fun to see. I mean, it was described very early on, but it was only more recently that we're starting to see that imagery. It didn't come out in the promotional material in the build-up to the actual solo release. But we are seeing that behind-the-scenes information now. The other quite interesting piece that we covered in the News Digest is that John Kasdan, the co-writer with Lawrence Kasdan of Solo, put out a wall of text tweet, spread over a couple of tweets just recently, that covers a bullet list of fun trivia items about the development of Solo, what went into it, what was the inspiration behind some of those things, what was his opinion and things that he enjoyed or particularly liked about the film. It looks like, as I say, a wall of text, but it's a very fun read. So if you haven't actually done so, we've put a link to John Kasdan's Twitter page specifically to these entries. Take a bit of a look there, take a bit of a read. It's worthwhile. 53 trivia items in total. For some reason they're numbered, but he's just broken them down in no particular order. Let's take a look at a couple of them just as an example. Just reading straight from his Twitter account now, so this is quoted verbatim. He's talking about Donald Glover. At this point, it goes without saying, but Donald was born to play Lando. I remember the thrill of seeing his screen test, then the thrill of watching Bob Iger and Alan Horn watch his screen test, all of us knowing how much fun that was going to be, and that he would steal each and every scene he was in. This was before Atlanta or Awaken My Love, but after Community. In my opinion, Donald needs to don the cape again, and the sooner the better.
That's a really fun take from somebody behind the scenes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be averse to seeing a lot of the Lando film. I love Donald Glover in that film.
Here's another excerpt from his bullet points. The Maelstrom. This is another idea that stuck from the very first draft. Trying to solve the problem of how to make the Kessel Run visually exciting, inventive, and at least somewhat logical weighed heavily on all of us throughout the process. It was something we discussed endlessly and knew we would never satisfy everyone, and specifically never satisfy Neil deGrasse Tyson. We wanted a Jules Verne flavor, and we wanted the idea of a storm in space, what that might look like. The Hubble image of the Pillars of Creation was a huge influence on this concept. ILM did tests in which they blow up canisters of different colored powder and photographed the explosion in slow-mo. Those tests were fun to watch.
It is interesting how much thought they put into that. I mean, the Kessel Run has been talked about, obviously, for decades, and there's attempts to make it work have taken place over and over. And they've now come up with a canon version, which I think does work. I mean, seeing the Maelstrom as effectively a maze, and the only way to make the Kessel Run faster is to break the walls of the maze, go through the extremely hazardous geography of it.
Yeah, I was super excited when I heard the Kessel Run was going to be a part of the Solo story, and I think the scenario that they came up with was a fantastic idea.
Well, it works conceptually and it works visually, I think.
So yeah,
win-win
yeah.
On that count. Talking about other Solo news, we also just watched the Star Wars show, which came out yesterday overnight. There's a couple of bits and pieces that are worth watching in that I particularly enjoyed. There is another behind-the-scenes excerpt relating to the creature shop, specifically the aliens. Shows the storage rooms for a lot of the alien creatures, the puppeted creatures and the robots, which is quite fun. They talk to a number of the puppeteers. They're talking about how many are required to bring to life each of the characters. The Sabacc game, the first Sabacc game scene in Solo, A Star Wars Story, which has an awful lot of creatures crowded around a pretty small room and a pretty small table with other human characters and extras also in the scene crowding it out. They said that they had 25 puppeteers under the table in the Sabacc game. So if you're interested in more of that sort of thing, do check out the Star Wars show. Speaking of the Star Wars show, tomorrow at midday New Zealand time, they are doing, I believe, an hour-long episode that is focusing entirely on the Solo bonus material. That's going to screen on the official Star Wars Facebook page, so facebook.com/StarWars, at what equates to midday New Zealand time. Hopefully that will show up on YouTube, on the official Star Wars YouTube channel later, because we do face that slightly annoying problem of when we go to Facebook/StarWars, we get redirected to the Australasian version of that Facebook page. We'll see how that pans out, whether or not it will be visible to us with a delay or not. Moving on to store reports, we've seen a few new products, maybe not a lot this week, but there's some other interesting news that I'll come to shortly. A couple of 2019 calendars have showed up at the warehouse, both priced at $15, if I remember correctly. There's two different physical sizes of these. The internal imagery looks quite cool on those. I haven't seen them personally. I've just seen what other Star Wars fans have posted in the SWNZ Facebook group so far. But check out the warehouse over the weekend. We'll see what those look like in person.
I always enjoy picking up a Star Wars calendar at the start of each year. These ones look like they feature predominantly original trilogy imagery, so definitely keen to check those out.
True. And the LEGO Advent calendar is available from both Mighty Ape, and we also saw it in the warehouse. I think the pricing is the same at both of those retailers. It may well be available at other retailers, probably priced the same as well. $49 for that product, but it comes with 24 different minifigs or mini vehicles or other sort of playset type pieces with some quite fun little bits in there. I love that tiny land speeder. Did you see how small that was?
I like the little tiny, like even smaller than the little mini rig type vehicles that they do in the advent calendars. It's great fun for kids and for grown-up Star Wars Lego collectors alike.
Yeah, so there's an IG-88 mini figure in there, and there's characters from Solo, there's characters from the Freemaker Adventures, and a whole lot of other things. We've also got pretty solid confirmation that the Vintage Collection Wave 2 of 3.75-inch figures will be showing up at the warehouse this week. There's not much of this week left, so do check out your local branch tomorrow, Saturday. If it hasn't shown up by then, it should be here very early next week. Be great to see new figures again. It's been a few weeks, if not months, since we saw new figures at local retailers. The TVC Wave 2 is a pretty cool wave. It's only got four figures in it, I believe, but they're great characters. There's a couple from Rogue One, a couple from Solo. And from Rogue One movie, we see the Tank Trooper. I love that character. I love that helmet design. We haven't seen that as a single-packed figure yet, I don't believe. Certainly not in the Super Articulated Vintage Collection range. Also from Rogue One, there is another Death Trooper. This looks like a specialist variant. He's got a lot of tactical gear on, ammo pouches, and so forth. And from Solo, we see Han Solo. This is the brown jacket version.
And the final one in the assortment is Emphas Nest. This one differs to the 5-point of articulation. This vintage carded one comes with a fabric cape, and the fan shields on the wrists come with two interchangeable versions, closed or fanned open, which is a great sort of display option.
So yeah, I think we're probably going to be quite keen on most of those to add to our collection. They're great representations. Earlier in the week, we did a SWTOR live stream on the SWNZ YouTube channel. So thanks for those that signed in to watch us live or who have watched the archive video since. We ran through the Capiro, the Chiss Flashpoint, that's fairly new to the game. I think we're going to actually look at doing another Flashpoint possibly next week, probably about the same time. We'll run through another of the newer Flashpoints, one that's on a planet called Nathema that has particularly impressive artistic vistas and scenery as you run through it. So it's fun to see, if you're not familiar with the game, just in terms of seeing what the design and sort of art style that been implemented in the game is all about. But following on to that, we've got a little bit of a different idea that we might also do in our live stream related to Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah, for Star Wars fans that are curious about playing Star Wars The Old Republic but haven't sort of really had much experience with MMO gameplay, we thought we might do a video of starting a new character and how you go about just starting to play the game, where your character starts from, simple fighting mechanics, choosing your outfit and a few fun accessories and things like that. So we'll probably look at doing that in a few weeks.
So that'll be a beginner's guide to really just encourage people to take a look at the game if you haven't seen it before, to show how easy it is to get into, to see how much story you're actually exposed to and get to interact with. And we'll also talk about some of the distinctions between what the limitations are if you play the game for free, which you can do, or if you play as a subscriber. And we'll cover that sort of material when we take a look at that. So once again, stay tuned. We'll make announcements about that prior to it going live, but that's something we're quite keen to do, because I think that's a fun idea. And I think personally, before I got into MMOs, I think I would have found something like that quite useful to overcome the mental hurdle of having to face quite involved gameplay. We want to show that it's not really quite as a large hurdle as you might necessarily think. Also on SWNZ this past week, we've posted another New Zealand collection article talking about the Uncle Toby's Revenge of the Sith promotions from 2005. In 2005, from about April through to September, so for a good few months, Uncle Toby's products in New Zealand, The chewy muesli bars and the fruit roll-ups came heavily branded as part of a Star Wars promotion for Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. And they were running a pretty impressive competition, win one of three ultimate Star Wars bedrooms they were telling us about at that time. So that's a new article that's been added to SWNZ, accessible still on the front page, but also through the New Zealand Archives / New Zealand Star Wars Collectibles section from the main menu. We're taking a look at all the packaging that was available for that product and the collectible cutout cards that were available on the back of the fruit roll-ups at the time. Okay, what other Star Wars bits and pieces do we have to talk about this week? What was your Star Wars highlight of the week?
Well, I play Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes daily. It's quite a hobby of mine. And the recent exciting news is that Jango Fett has just been released into the game today. So he is a new addition to the Bounty Hunter faction. This faction has had a lot of updates and reworks in the last couple of weeks. We've seen characters like Aura Sing and Bosk being added, and a few of the older characters like Cad Bane got reworks, so making them better fighters, and adding in a few of the Bounty Hunter ships like Bosk's Houndstooth and Cad Bane's ship. So if you're a Bounty Hunter fan, this is a great team lineup to gear up, because they're becoming very competitive and very useful for the territory war battles.
So that's Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, the mobile game, available on both Apple and Google, I assume. I haven't played it myself, but I've watched over Christy's shoulder a lot. The graphics on that game are amazing for a mobile game.
It's completely free to play. You can, of course, buy in-game currency to buy gear and things like that faster, but all of the aspects of the game are available to you if you want to play it free, which is how I play it. You can take your teams and fight against other player characters. You can play against standard non-player characters. You can join into a guild and do huge big battles against other player guilds. There's starfighters and lots of recurring events to really enjoy. I also reached a little bit of a personal achievement today. I broke into the top 100 in my particular category for player versus player achievements. I got rank 66, so that was quite an exciting achievement for me. I've been working really hard on my top team with the recent mod rework launch, and that's really starting to pay off.
Okay, so like I say, that game looks really quite impressive. That's probably something that, again, like Star Wars The Old Republic, it might be worth us grabbing some video to show people who haven't played what it's actually like and what it's actually about, give a bit of an intro to that. So that's something we should look at doing on the website in the near future.
I've certainly played a lot of the other Star Wars app games in the past, but a few of them have sadly discontinued, like Force Collection and of course Tiny Death Star, but this one is going from strength to strength. It's a Star Wars game that EA is putting a lot of effort and attention to, and it's got a really big growing community of players.
They're making a bit of money out of that one, I think. It's one of their focuses.
You can play it quite competitively, but then there is a lot of people that play it completely free, and it's great. You can collect up the characters and play it quite casually if you like, or you can take it quite competitively, join a high-ranked guild, and compete with other people. It really offers a wide array of activities that you can do on a daily basis.
Anything else on Star Wars news?
We touched on it last week, but on Tuesday, the Black Milk Clothing Star Wars collection released. This contained 21 pieces, and the public response to it was overwhelming. It crashed the website for nearly a full hour while fans from around the world were trying to buy their favorite pieces of Black Milk Clothing. So that was a really exciting release for anyone that's interested in Star Wars fashion. The collection included both women's designs and unisex designs. The unisex range includes ones inspired by sort of the American football jerseys, and they go all the way up to men's sizes. So it's not just women's leggings and dresses. There are ranges that men can wear. Darth Vader and Boba Fett. Some of the pieces are limited, so they'll be selling out in certain sizes, but a lot of the range is available for 7 days. They'll make as as much as people buy in the 7 days. So that will come to a close Tuesday. So if you're at all interested, check out blackmilkclothing.com. They ship internationally, and if you order over, I think it's $119, they ship internationally for free.
Okay, I think that about covers everything we've got to talk about this week. So thanks once again for listening in. And as always, keep an eye on the SWNZ website at swnz.co.nz, at the SWNZ Facebook page and the SWNZ Facebook group. There are links to all of those from the SWNZ website. Thanks for listening.
May the force be with you.